Welcome to the Heart for God podcast. With many years of experience pastoring and helping to start churches, Dr. Jim Townsley has some practical and biblical advice that can be a great help to you and your ministry. On this podcast, Dr. Townsley and other guests with special expertise cover a variety of topics. His goal is to help you lead your church to be a healthy, strong, and balanced ministry, and for your family to be happy, healthy, and living for the Lord.
I have with me today Dr. Lonnie Moore, one of the friends that we go back almost since we began the ministry. I know him, his family, and we've been friends a long time. But Brother Moore is at a point where I'm at a point that there has to be a transition. There is a blight today where we cannot find enough preachers to fill pulpits, and some cases pastors are resigning and they don't have anyone to take their place. As a result, the churches are hurt and defeated, and Brother Moore is going to help us and give us some ideas, suggestions, and spiritual ideas that's going to help us today. Brother Moore, great to have you with us.
Thank you so much for the opportunity to be here, and it is wonderful to be reunited with good friends. And Dr. Townsley, I've been able to do that a lot lately, it seems. In fact, this past week, I was able to do a meeting for another man who was in Bible college when we were. And I've been able to reunite with several like that. But it seems to be a common denominator that I've had in since I've made this transition. And it was last August that for some time I felt that God, of course, God has always blessed me with the opportunity to be in evangelism while I was pastoring. But in August, I completed 39 years in the church that I started, and God's blessed and abundantly in so many ways and allowed us to even start churches out of ours and able to produce some good men that have come out of our church that are pastoring in various places and on the mission field. But this past August, I felt it was time that God was leading me to make a transition. And since then, I've been busy every Sunday. I've only had two Sundays since August that I've not been in a meeting. And I praise the Lord for that. But one thing I have found as a common denominator, and it may be because of my age and so many of my friends that have had me, but many are facing that same decision that they're making, and they have asked me, and many pastors have asked me about maybe making and preparing themselves and their church to make a transition in the pastorate, in the ministry. This past week, just a couple of days ago, I got a call from a man who said there are two churches in our area that are in great trouble and facing closing their doors. These churches once were filled and were thriving churches, but now down to just a few people. One, I think, said about nine people, and the other about similar state. And one, the pastor had gotten old and just was unable to pastor anymore without a replacement. And the other, the pastor is sick, and they're not consistently. So what should a church do about that? And so I, Lord's been giving me some things and some thoughts about transitioning in the ministry and preparing yourself for that, and for the pastors or for the church that needs to go through that and are facing that. I believe the Bible gives, and I don't think we ought to do anything that's not Bible-based. Every principle that we live by and we govern our churches and pastor our churches by should have a biblical principle. And I think when it is time to make a transition, I think, too, you ought to have the biblical basis to do so. There are some practical examples the Lord gives us. For one is, when Jesus entered Jerusalem, in Matthew chapter 21, he told his disciples, he said, I want you to go, and he said, you're going to find two donkeys. He says, you're going to find an ass tied and a colt with her. He says, loose them and bring them unto me. We often hear about the colt that the Lord Jesus rode on, but the Bible's very plain that there were two. And it says of them, it says, if any man say aught unto you, ye shall say, the Lord hath need of them, and straightway he will send them. All this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, tell ye the daughter of Zion, behold, thy king cometh unto thee, meek, and sitting upon an ass and a colt, the foal of an ass. I don't think we ever considered the fact that Jesus rode both of them. Now, I think in this was perhaps the manner in which it was. In fact, I title a message that I preach on this subject, Jesus, a Jack, and a Jenny. And we find here that, of course, the Jenny is the mother donkey, and the Jack is the colt that is mentioned here. And I think it was this way. The colt had never been ridden. And so, no doubt, this would have been a difficult task. So what Jesus, I believe, did, he began riding the old donkey. And at some point, coming into Jerusalem, there was a transition that was made. And Jesus got on the colt, the young donkey. And I believe it was this way. I believe the old colt stayed alongside and accompanied, taking the Lord Jesus into Jerusalem. I believe that's a beautiful picture of how a church transition ought to be. I believe it is a pastor's responsibility, and perhaps the last greatest responsibility that a pastor has to his church, is to put into place the pastor that is to carry the work that God gave him on, even perhaps to another level. Let me give you a few examples in the Bible. I think about David, King David. You know, there are various transitions in life, and David certainly is the example. You know, David had this exciting young life. I mean, for 20 years, I mean, he was fighting the giants and fighting the Philistines and running for his life. But what an amazing man that he was in those years. And then finally, at last, you know, he became king. But then it seems he became careless. And maybe I put it this way. He became just so-so. He's about 45 years of age. And it is then that he has the occasion with Bathsheba. And his ministry comes into jeopardy. And then we see later in life, he grows slow, fighting the giants. He's 65 to 70 years old, but he says, I can still fight the giants, but he's wounded. And he is. He begins to realize, thankfully, he had some young giant fighters that he had prepared to fight and trained the giant to fight giants to come alongside of him and help him. But then he grew old and perhaps prideful. And that's when he numbered his kingdom. And again, it was a great tragedy of a loss of life. And we see in the life and ministry of a church, sometimes we go through those periods of times of upheavals, and sometimes the churches, you know, they go through these difficult times. But we find here at the last, and David is perhaps somewhere nearing 75 years of age, now he grows cold. And David nearly made the same tragic, the same tragedy that so many pastors do. Perhaps he was unable to do perhaps what he wanted to do in building the temple, and he feels that maybe there's nothing left for him to do. life's not as exciting anymore, and he took to his bed, and it gets cold. Now, they tried a little contemporary service with a contemporary idea with David to try to give him some energy, and brought in an Abishag, thought maybe that contemporary would get David going again, but no, nothing was moving David. He's just giving it up. But he took to his bed. But you know what the tragedy was? The kingdom was almost lost because Solomon would have been slain. He had not named his replacement. And of course, you know what happened. The prophet comes in and warns David. And you know what David does? David gets out of bed and he anoints Solomon. But he takes about a year. He spends a year mentoring Solomon, and the kingdom is saved. And yes, Solomon, he grew the kingdom, but that would have never happened had David not made that transition. There are many examples. You think about Moses. Moses still had much more he wanted to do. He wanted to take the children of Israel into the land of Canaan. But God said, no, circumstances are, you cannot do that. And Moses said, but would you give someone that they be not as sheep without a shepherd? And God gave to Moses the very model of ordination that we use today. He says, you take Joshua from among the people. Why is it important training somebody within that congregation? Because the congregation is familiar with them. They're sheep. And the problem with, even if you get a good shepherd to come in, oftentimes the congregation, they're like sheep. A stranger's voice, they will not follow. But they knew Joshua. Moses had already spent time with Joshua and had trained Joshua. And so God says, you take Joshua and bring him before the congregation and lay thy hands upon him. That's an ordination. And he says, put some of thine honor upon him. And when that took place, the people then followed Joshua. And the nation grew and was blessed. And really, that's what we want. Let me name you another example. How about Elijah? Elijah, too, thought he had come to the end of his ministry, and he was discouraged. And it's so easy when you go through a difficult time to get discouraged and quit as a pastor. And Elijah did that. He said, let me just die. And he went into the cave to die, but he found the Lord there. God wasn't finished with Elijah. Now, God says to Elijah, what doest thou here, Elijah? He said, and by the way, when it comes to the work of God, really, the work of God is greater than we are and we're able to accomplish. This work that God had given to Elijah was greater than he even knew about. And it's more than we know, it's more than we're able to accomplish, and the work will last longer than we are. Let me show you from that passage in 1 Kings 19. There in 1 Kings chapter 19, God says, here's what I want you to do, Elijah. He said, I want you to go and anoint Hazael to be the king of Syria. I want you to anoint Jehu to be the king of Israel, and Elisha to be prophet in thy stead. And Elijah went forward, and do you realize he only did one of those three things? He anointed Elisha. Elisha anointed Hazael. And one of Elisha's men anointed Jehu. Now think about it. The ministry God gave to Elijah, it didn't change. It was carried on with Elisha and really multiplied. Elisha did twice as much as Elijah, but we find it's always Elijah that's referred to. Why? Because God gave him the ministry. And that ministry that God has given that pastor is so important, and it's so important as pastors that you make sure it's the same ministry. The problem today is when a pastor quits and he says, well, I'm just going to go to a Bible college somewhere and bring in a man, and I'm going to turn it over to him. The problem with that often is he will not carry on the same ministry. He'll take it a different direction. God gave Elijah the ministry. Elisha then carried it on. And then one of his men took that same ministry that God gave to Elijah, and he carried it forward. There must be the transitions because it's age sometimes. Sometimes it's our health, and sometimes circumstances. And to be honest, the older that you get, it becomes more difficult to carry the load. Some of the greatest churches and the churches that we're familiar with and we were part of no longer even exist today. Why was that? I believe there was a failure in making the transition of keeping the ministry the same and carrying it on. How important it is. But the Word of God, I believe, will speak to you. God gave me, has given me, He has told me when to stay. There were times when I had opportunities to go, but God told me plainly through His Word, no, it's not time. You stay. But then when God made it clear to me, He showed me through His Word and prayerfully considering, and then God bless. Now, in making that transition, I think it is so important that you prepare yourself. What are you going to do? You need to think about that. When it comes time for the transition, now God has blessed me, and I am having the opportunity to be a blessing to many other churches, and I've been able to be with scores of them even since I've left there. But I'm still in a mentoring role with the man that I put into place there. In the work. So you have to know what you're going to do. And I believe if we do that right, you can stay right there in that church and help and be there for that pastor to help him, just like that old donkey came alongside that young donkey. It's going to be all right. You're going to make it. You can do this. The Lord will help you. The Lord is in control here. And that will help them through those times and prepare them because you know what it's like. There's going to be some difficult times. And you can prepare them for that. So you need to be prepared what you're going to do, but you need to prepare the church for it. It doesn't need to be a shock to the church. And also, you need to help them to understand you are the pastor through that transition. And it's very difficult for sheep to choose a shepherd. That's a shepherd's responsibility. That's the biblical role that we have. And then you need to prepare for your finances. Some thought needs to be given. How are you going to live? The church may not be able to support both of you. So there needs to be, and the church needs to be part of that. They need to be preparing for that time. But let me also say quickly, prepare your wife. I've enjoyed this transition myself, but I can't say necessarily that my wife has. She's no longer the first lady of the church, and that's hard for her. And so there needs to be that's part of the preparation. She has put her life into that church just like I have, and so that's important. But keep in mind that God's given you a vision, and you need to make sure that vision is the same that goes on to that next generation. But I trust Dr. Townsley. These have been a few things, at least God spoke to my heart about, and maybe some others that are facing some of the same thing.
Brother Lonnie, that is great advice, and that's going to help a lot of people. And if you're listening to this, I hope you'll advise someone else that you know might be going through that transition or close to it, that you'd give them how to find this webcast and have them listen to it. I think it would be a great help. I know many years ago, it was a common practice. A pastor said, well, I'm done. Now the church has a plan. They form a pulp committee, and the poor folks have no idea what they're doing or how to do it. They're not prepared or trained, and I have to say probably not qualified. So the pastor needs to help to go through that transition and help them find the right man and to coordinate his efforts through the church people, not do it independently, but allow the people to get behind you in that decision. And God will bless it. God will bless it. Thank you, Brother Lonnie, so much.
Thank you for listening. If you enjoyed the podcast, consider sharing it with a friend. You can also follow at Dr. Townsley on Twitter or on Facebook at Jim Townsley.